Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but our greatest fear is that we are adequate beyond description. None of us really live up to our fullest potentials and do all the things that we can and should. Oh, we stay busy with a lot of stuff, but we can't really say that we exercise the fullest potentials that we have in our lives. Today's message, if you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. If you're using a church Bible, it's on page 614, and in the message, it's on page 886. Today's message is entitled 2011, The Year of Change. Ecclesiastes, very familiar. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, if you got to Song of Solomon, you went one too far. Very familiar piece of scripture here, made famous by the birds. But it bears at this time of year, reminding ourselves that according to verse 1, that to everything there is a season. There's a time to every purpose that is under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck that which has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend and a time to sow, time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I remember some months back after a service, one Sunday morning, Angel Chambers came up to me and she looked me right square in the eye and she said, "You don't have any idea what you're talking about, do you?" And I looked at her and I said, "No, I do not." And what she was saying to me is that what you are speaking to us is so far beyond even your own understanding, you're just kind of taking it a bite at a time, that you're sharing what it is you do have, but you have no idea where you're going, you have no idea what's going to happen, and you have no idea where we're going to wind up. And you know what? That's the truth. That's where faith plays a part in our lives. I don't have to know what the next step is. Don't have to know where the end of the road is. Don't have to know how all this is going to turn out. All of that's in God's hands, not in my hands. But for the last several years, on the first Sunday of the year, I've been granted the privilege by God to speak prophetically concerning some things in the coming year. It has been to my own horror how right I've been each year. There are those people who think that, oh, it would be really cool to have a prophetic gift. Well, if you think it's cool to have a prophetic gift, it's probably because you like sticking your nose in other people's business. It's not cool having a prophetic gift. It's scary. It's scary having any kind of gift that God gives you. Because with that gift comes some awesome responsibilities. And also with that gift comes a time when you have to give an account for the gift that's been given. And some will enter in and they will have doubled it. And others will enter in and they will have doubled it. And some will enter in and they will have hidden it. And they'll be cast into a place where there's gnashing of teeth. God doesn't give us opportunities minus responsibilities. In times of uncertainty, though, when I don't know what I'm talking about, I fall back on what I do know. Because there are some things that I do know. One of those things is that time is a parenthesis. If you'll think of a parenthesis here and a parenthesis here, everything on that side of the parenthesis is eternity, and everything on that side of the parenthesis is eternity. And time is just a parenthesis in eternity. Time has a beginning, and time has an end. And one of the things I know is that you are eternal. One of the things I know is that I am eternal. One of the things I know is that the earth is eternal. One of the things I know is that God not only is eternal, but He's unchangeable. And so when I stand and I look into a coming year, or I look into a given situation, and I don't know exactly what it is I'm seeing, I don't know exactly what it is I'm trying to say, I go back to that which I do know, and I do know that time is a parenthesis. I also know this. God, except that He choose for Himself to be, is not bound by time. God is not bound by time unless He chooses to be bound by time. They came to Jesus and they said, "Your friend, he's dead." Jesus could have gotten up right that moment and gone to Lazarus' house, but He waited 3 days. Because God is not bound by time, but there were some things that God wanted to accomplish in that 3 days. One of them was even shaking, hear me, God wanted to accomplish the shaking of even Mary's faith. Because she's the one that came out and said, "Well, had you been here, but now he's been dead so long, he's even starting to smell." God will sometimes shake our faith to show us that He's greater than our shaken faith. God will sometimes shake our faith to show us that He is greater than whatever it is that shook our faith. God will sometimes shake our faith, not to prove to Himself, but to prove to you and I that God is always on time. And so God is not sitting up there sending out an angel down to Walmart to pick up a 2011 calendar. Because God is not bound by time except for where He chooses to bind Himself in time. You follow me? And so we, though, as humans, we call this the new year. And I think that many times God honors that. The fact that maybe He doesn't really honor the new year as much as He honors the fact that it's at this time of year that we pause long enough to ponder the year. That in that pausing there, He honors that to speak to us about His heart, His plans, His desires for you and for me. Because although I may not know what this year holds, what I do know is who holds this year. As people, we generally hate change. And yet change is one of the inevitables in life. Everything is changing. This morning in my office, I was laughing about Charlie, Teresa, and Bryce getting older while I'm getting younger. But we're all changing one way or another. And of course, Charlie and Bryce were in no short speed to let me know that I might not be moving in the direction I thought I was. We just came through the Christmas season. If you'll stop and think about every character mentioned in the nativity story had their lives changed for eternity's sake. Joseph, Mary, all their families. Take it all the way down. The shepherds had their lives changed for eternity's sake. The Magi's had their lives changed. Or the Magi's were not there at the birth. Okay, they came years later. But nonetheless, their lives were still changed at the season that we call Christmas. God is in the business of change. Seem to be in the business of resisting change. But God is in the business of change. He sets it up where there is a spring, summer, and then a fall, and then a winter. And He allows there to be that constant change. Because change in your life and in mine is inevitable. The only thing that doesn't change is God. Everybody in Scripture had a great change in their lives by their encounter with God if they met Him in the First Testament, or by Jesus if they met Him in the Second Testament. So what I'm here to tell you is that the sense that I'm getting from the person of the Holy Spirit concerning 2011 is that 2011 is going to be a year of change. There's going to be a lot of changes. Last Sunday, I'm sitting on my couch at home looking at Parade magazine. And there's an interview with Stephen Curtis Chapman. Everybody know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is? Everybody know that his 17, 18-year-old son backed over his 5-year-old adopted daughter 2 years ago and killed her? Obviously a very traumatic event in their lives. And one of the questions here was this: how are you and your family doing since your daughter's death? Listen to this answer. It's not the defining thing in our lives, but it has redefined us. It's not the defining thing in our lives, but it has redefined us. My wife would call it a wrestling match with God. Next question. Are holidays especially difficult? Here's his answer. I think we realize now more than ever the brokenness of our world. And this loss will carry for the rest of our lives. But it's also when we celebrate the coming of hope. We're weary, but I think 2011 will be a new beginning. From a man who lost his 5-year-old daughter, run over by his own son. There's a great book I've read and bought multiple copies of and gave to friends of mine called Who Moved My Cheese? By Spencer Johnson. How many of you read Who Moved My Cheese? Everybody needs to read Who Moved My Cheese. It's an inexpensive little book. It won't take you very long to read it. It's a really quick read, and you can get through it pretty fast. But what it's about is about four characters who live in this little community, and there's cheese there. And they eat on this cheese until the cheese is gone. When the cheese is gone, they have to make some decisions. And it talks about the four, each person represents a different way of responding to change. Great book called Who Moved My Cheese? But what I want you to understand is this: change is about attitude. Change is about attitude. There's a very famous quote by Charles Swindoll that goes this way: the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. I went looking for that quote as I was doing my research for today's message. You know what I found out? And I never knew this. I've heard this quote for years. You know what I found out? This is an excerpt from the quote. The real quote goes this way. This may shock you, Charles Swindoll says, but I believe the most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. Selah. Just stop right there. The most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. The attitude I choose keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge that is too great for me. Yet, we must admit that we spend more of our time concentrating and fretting over the things that can't be changed than with giving attention to the one thing that we can change, and that's our attitude. Stop and think about some of the things that suck up our attention and energy, all of them inescapable. The weather, the wind, people's actions and criticisms, who won or lost the game, delays at airports or waiting rooms, X-ray results, gas and food cost. In his closing paragraph, this is what he says. Quit wasting energy fighting the inescapable. And turn your energy to keeping a right attitude. Those things we can't do anything about shouldn't even come up in our minds. The alternative is ulcers, cancer, sourness, and depression. Let's choose each day and every day to keep an attitude of faith and joy and belief and compassion. Take charge of your mind. I brought you a gift today. The full quote, and something that you can take home, and you can go to the dollar store and buy an inexpensive frame, or you can just do whatever you want to. But I made these up for you. I think that's more than one there. Huh? Oh, he needs to be reminded twice about his attitude. No, I put it on pretty paper for a pretty woman. You get black. I'm really, really well. You're welcome. There's the full quote in its entirety. As a gift to you. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said the identical same thing, except this is how he put it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Change is about attitude. An attitude is something that you and I have control over. We have control over whether or not we have a good attitude or a bad attitude. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, instructs them to capture every thought and bring it to the lordship, the obedience of Christ. Now, the inevitable question, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Is change good or is change bad? How many of you would say, change is good? How many of you would say, yes, change is bad? The truth of the matter is, it's neither good nor bad. The truth is, change is neither good nor bad. It's all a matter of how you perceive it. Truthfully, change is about trust. Truthfully, change is about trust. We either trust God with the changes that are going on in our lives, or we don't. We either have faith in the sovereignty of God over our lives, or we don't. We believe that our lives are written down on a scroll, rolled up, and sealed with seven seals, or we don't. Because ultimately, change is about trust. And the question is do I trust God who says to me that the steps of a godly man are ordered of the Lord? And God, in ordering my steps, leads me into change. And so change is about my attitude, and change is about trust. And this is going to be a year of change. Good change or bad change? I don't know. Change. What's your attitude towards it? But I agree with Charles Swindoll that with every change we have an opportunity to adjust our attitude to the positive or adjust our attitude to the negative. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 read this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And whatever change happens, there'll be change on the path that He is taking you. Not a very long message today. And for a reason. Because I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't sit here and say to you, these are the changes that are going to happen. But you know why? Because I don't know what changes are going to happen. I just know that for several weeks now, there's been a stirring in my heart. Don, you're going to have to trust me. And you're going to have to watch your attitude. And from a lot of different areas and a lot of different places, and even from Parade magazine, God said, yeah, this is me talking. You need to be paying attention. Change is coming. I choose to believe that whether I like the change or don't like the change, it's going to be all good change. Because not only do I have a rear guard, but I have a shepherd who is leading me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. But before I close today, I would like to share one more piece of Scripture with you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter... You're in Proverbs 3. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Everybody there? Okay, now I'll give you the verse because I didn't want you to go before me. Proverbs 29, 25. King James Version. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29, 25 out of God's Word. A person's fear sets a trap for him, But one who trusts the Lord is safe. One more time. Proverbs 29:25, and I'm going to show you this one. Proverbs 29:25 from the Message. The fear of human opinion disables. Selah. Selah. The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. That good stuff or what? Now, I want us to, in closing today, I want us to look at this in two different ways. You ready? Number one, the fear of human opinion disables. That is, your opinion concerning me. Or your opinion concerning something else. Okay? Felisa, I just don't like these red chairs. Any sin in red chairs? No? Okay? But all of a sudden, if I'm not careful, and I gripe enough about the red chairs, Felisa's not going to like them either. If she hears it enough and often enough, she won't like red chairs either. She might have somebody she really likes, like her friend here. But if I keep cutting her off, talking bad about her friend, maybe not just right out, just making little hints, little bit things. All of a sudden, then she begins to see her friend a little different. Don't we? Because human opinion disables. This is why the concept that everyone's entitled to their opinion is straight from the pit of hell. The Bible nowhere says you're entitled to an opinion. What the Bible says is this: let this mind which was in Christ Jesus be in you. Now that it says. But it doesn't say you're entitled to an opinion. Because you see, the fear of human opinion. Oh, I can't wear an orange shirt. In fact, Michelle this morning going out the door, Michelle said, "Well, honey, you look nice." I said, "Yeah, I'm waiting on somebody to say, 'Good morning, pumpkin head.'" I figured it'd be a Kinlaw first, is what I figured. But, you know. But I'm not going to stand and have fear of a Kinlaw calling me a pumpkin head, not wearing an orange shirt. Because the fear of human opinion will disable you. Well, what will they think? Well, what will they do? Let me tell you something. There's only one opinion over your life that matters. There's only one opinion over your life that truly matters. There's only one opinion over your life that will last when the parentheses of time is finished. The fear of what others think, how others feel, what others think, or how they're going to respond or react is disabling. Part A. Part B. My own opinion disables me. The fear of Don's human opinion disables him. And so in part A, not only am I not to fear your opinion, in part B, I'm not to fear my own opinion. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about where you look in the mirror and you say, "I can't." I'm talking about where you look in the mirror and you say, "I'm not good enough," or "I'm not tall enough," or "I'm not short enough," or "I'm too big," or "I'm too little," or "I'm not smart enough," or "I don't have enough money." All those ugly opinions that we say about ourselves as we look in the mirror, that fear of those human opinions, even if they come from out of our own heart, they will serve to disable us. Which is why the Scripture teaches us that the thinking that we're supposed to have is sober thinking. And sober thinking is to think God's thoughts after Him. You know what God said of the man in the mirror that I shaved this morning? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what God said of the face I shaved in the mirror this morning? Aren't you glad I shaved this morning? Yeah. My wife hates it when I don't shave. You know what God said of the face I shaved in the mirror this morning? For I so loved you that I gave you my only begotten Son, that if you'll believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. That when you don't know what it is you're talking about, go back to what it is you do know you're talking about. And what you do know you're talking about is that my word is true. And where your word contradicts my word is the truth, and your word is a lie. And according to Jesus, lies only come from one place. And He fathers them every day. He is the originator. I'll tone it down a little bit. He is the originator of every lie. He fathers every one of them. And that sense that I'm not good enough, that sense that I can't, the sense that, hey, if I look in the mirror, my world is falling apart. Only if your God's falling apart.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go ahead on and preach it.
Yeah.
But the fear of human opinion disables. Whether that opinion, I'm afraid of what your opinion is, or if I speak out of fear of my own opinion. It disables. Is that a semicolon? Thank you. Is that what that is? Is that a semicolon? Okay. But there's not a period there. There's a semicolon. Trusting in God not only protects me from your opinion about who I am, what I am, where I'm going, and what I'm doing, it protects me from my own opinion about who I am, what I am, and where I'm going. Wherever that fear of human opinion comes from doesn't make any difference. It's the solution, the Band-Aid over the problem is still the same Band-Aid. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. The bloodshed for you and I at Calvary takes care of every problem. We don't wrestle with it. We don't fight it. We just dive in and swim in it. Because Jesus died that you and I might be free from all disabilities. Disables. From all disabling disabilities. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, attitude, whatever. I know that there's lots of people today a lot smarter than me standing around arguing over does the blood cover everything. You know what I've decided? The blood covers everything. There's not an element of life. There's not a place in life. There's nothing in life. Inside of me, outside of me, in my head, in my heart, in my spirit, there's nothing the blood doesn't take control of. If I'll just throw it in there and let it swim. 2011 is going to be a year of change. It's going to test our attitude. You don't have a bad attitude, you choose a bad attitude. You don't have a good attitude, you choose a good attitude. Well, I don't know how you can say that, because that's how quickly attitudes can change. One minute I can have a good one, and the next minute I can have a bad one.
Right.
All directed by the choices that I have made. Because life is about choices. I make good ones. They move me forward in life in a good way. I make bad ones. I still move forward in life, just in a bad way. Because nothing is not moving forward. Is that a sentence? It is now. Sounds good to me. The principle is still true. Everything's moving forward. 2011, a year of change that will uncover and reveal to us what our attitude is, and will uncover and reveal to us wherein have we laid our trust. Wherein have we laid our trust? Because when change happens, it's bad. The question is, am I going to trust God? When change happens and my attitude is it's good, the question is, am I going to trust God? See, we have to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't trust God when things go bad, but we just skip down merrily when things go good. Because our greatest successes can be the portal that lead us to our greatest demise. Our greatest successes can be the portal that lead us to our greatest demise. Yes, exactly. Money can run you crazy.
It can.
It can. If we go back to the... let me just go ahead and spit this name out because I know it's wrong, but I can't get to the name I need. Gideon. Okay, Gideon. I started to say Job, but I knew Job wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for Gideon. So Gideon has his 300. He goes down and he defeats that great army. He comes back and he takes up an offering, and what does he do with it? He creates a golden idol for the Jews to worship. Because sometimes our greatest successes are the ones that drive us into a cave and we get all depressed and then we begin to holler to God, I'm the only one who loves you and serves you and I'm about to starve to death. And some blackbird comes flying in with a piece of meat. Okay? And God says, hush you whining. I got 3,000 who still serve me you don't know anything about. Sometimes it's our greatest successes that are the portal to our greatest failures. The reason I'm bringing that up is because this is what prefaced that. When change happens in 2011, you think it's bad? Trust God. When change happens in 2011, you think it's good? Trust God. Because at any point that we stop trusting God with the changes in our lives, we've made for ourselves a huge mistake. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't be leaning on anybody else's human opinion, and don't be leaning on your own human opinion. In all your ways, whether they be good or whether your determination is that they are good or whether your determination is that they are bad, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And in acknowledging Him, you'll see that in all things, Jesus is still Lord. He said, get in this boat. I will try to close with this. I've been trying to close for 15 minutes. He said, get in this boat. Let's go to the other side. They said, oh, man, there's a storm coming. He goes, get in the boat. We've got to go to the other side. Man, hey, you're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. You've been working with rocks all your life, and what we're beginning to think now is you got rocks in your head. There is no way in the world we're going to get to the other side. He said, get in the boat. This is what the word compelled them. That's what that word means. It means they got in an argument. He said, we're going to the other side. They said, we're professional boatmen. We'll tell you we ain't going to make it to the other side. He had to force the issue. But when he forced the issue, they developed a bad attitude. Don't you care that we perish? We don't like this change. He said, oh, you don't like this change? How about this change? Peace. And then that scared them to death too. They fell down, started screaming at the tops of their lungs, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? The fear of human opinion. Jesus was never moved by it. I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father doing. And the consequences, they're somebody else's. And if in my obedience, I am led to a place called Calvary, it's only so that on the third day, I might be risen. God, into your hands do we commend our spirits. That whatever happens, I mean, why, God, do we call personal life and church life? I mean, we just got one life. And stuff happens. Today we stand before you, before heaven, and before every angry host of hell, and we declare that I'm going to trust you. The path that you've chosen for me to walk, I'm not going to be disabled in. I'm not going to be fearful in. I'm not going to be afraid of what is said. I'm not going to be afraid of reactions. I'm going to steadfastly look in your eyes. I'm not going to blink unless you blink. I'm going to keep my ears open to hear your voice. I'm going to keep my hand inside of your hand. And I'm going to trust you in the midst of every change. I give you honor and glory today for the plans that you have already laid out for 2011. And I choose by an act of my will to adjust my attitude to be happy in all things. In Jesus' name.